You are now about to begin the great adventure, the journey out of your mind.
Back up in your act with the resurrection.
It's the Bat Rat Podcast.
Paragraph, my pen is like an English exam. Vocally control the stage with a vehement stand. Dry heat with sparks, I can part the seat with a glance. Raising them around like the Foreign Legion in France. Turning up the thermostat until your t-shirt is damp. I expand amplitude and a frequency band. Cross country, uncharted regions and lands. All I need is a DJ that can speak with his hands. And a mic made of steel so I can speak with the fans. Make sure it weighs a ton so I can feed the demand. Add some flavor to the beat so I can season the plan. Rhyming pleasing, I'm above selling dreams to the fans. Concepts stay bubbling like grease in a pan. When these whack rappers speak, I don't believe in their rap. They slow with it while my whole way of thinking's advanced. I rock dynamic soul, composing a classic opus. Even the apparatus ragged as an added bonus. Allow me to bring you up to speed in case you haven't noticed. The modern day marvel on the atlas, not a novice, never at a loss of focus. Critics plead the fifth, place no value in the gossip that the media depicts. They're out to lunch, they shine, a season to exist. Doing mics poetic justice for peeps who need a fix. A wild Irish rose, side of prose, like water it flows. Crews plot to get their product exposed. All I need's a mere hour to let my logic unload. On a paper, ripping the mic raw, fogging commodes, the remnants of those spitting from recycling bins. For bodies, it's grim, they leave the cypher minus their limbs. Eat them like vitamins, and no one's seen a side of them since. All the kiddos feel ditto, this is kind of intense. I do it on my own, spilling etched baths out of pins. I possess the missing elements of jamming and grin. Out of swollen memory banks, my stamina stings. On the sofa in the lab, if you ask where I went. Cause only a few truly got my back in a pinch. I bring it back to the basics, spinning backs on cement. When I chatter, words scatter like Buddha's accents. Causing concrete to crack beneath your feet when I vent. My thoughts travel like stars, parabolas and arcs. A unique form ignited by a casual spark. I'm not planning to pause, I can't abandon the cause. And for that, you should hand a man a round of applause. Spitting rhyme and reason, leaving bystanders in awe. On stage, brandishing my own brand of patois. Equivalent to traffic accidents and crashing a car. It's the track's impact, the antonym of a star. As a kid, I daydreamed about advancing this far. Before I started writing rhymes, I was a fan of the art. And that, I shall remain. The perils of fame poison many. I'd rather have an unheralded name. To be polluted, sounding stupid, better suited for lame. That's like skydiving when your parachute is in flames. Hip-hop is in the blood, I'll never do it in vain. Positive communication via use of the brain.
What's happening, Bat Rats? This is Loki. You're listening to the Bat Rat Podcast. This is episode 4. It's 2014. Thanks for tuning in. What you just heard was off the Green Chili in the Air Volume 3 mixtape, put together by producer Dials. And that song featured Jungle One. It's called People's Champ. And you'll hear a bunch more shit off the Green Chili in the Air before this is all said and done today here on the podcast. If it's your first time checking out the podcast, you should know that Batwings for Lab Rats is a band from Albuquerque. We sound kind of like a 311 Rage Against the Machine type of deal. We're hip-hop, punk rock, psychedelic. We're a journey through many, many flavors. We're like a sampler. We're like a Whitman sampler of psychedelic madness. I don't know what I'm saying. But speaking of Batwings for Lab Rats, you can check out our new single, January 22nd. That shit's gonna be out. And I don't even know what song it's gonna be yet, but it doesn't really matter because we're gonna release every song on the album as a single. Every week on batwingsforlabrats.com, you can go there, download the new single. It might not be exactly every week, every week or two-ish, but you can go there, check out the new single, download it for free, and we'll release every song on the album that way. As far as the actual physical CD goes, we're gonna do that too, but we wanna make it we want to make it more of like a collector's art item. So we want to include something in every single one that's unique, and we want to number them and sign them all. So there will be a unique artwork element to every single CD that gets made. So each one will be totally unique. I don't know exactly what we're going to do as far as the artwork goes. We have some ideas and we're working on some things. But if you have any ideas, I'm thinking of, you know, maybe including prizes, some shit like that. Something unique. I don't fucking know. I got ideas, I know, but I don't want to necessarily reveal them before you open your new CD and check out what's inside. But if you have any ideas, hit us up. You can hit me up, Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, at batwingsforlabrats.com. You can check us out on the Facebook. You can always hit us up on there. We're going to be doing more shows coming up in 2014. Shit is going to be on. I'm super, super excited to unveil this new album. It's called Tuning Antennas. And make sure you check back at batwingsforlabrats.com. Check the podcast. You'll hear the new singles every week. Word up.
Well, everyone in Paynton is talking about it. Something smells like weed in that back part of the library.
No one has located the source of the weed smell, but witnesses say that it seems to come from that area of the library behind the computer desk between the magazine rack and that weird couch.
Head librarian Cookie Stevens and library volunteers Margaret Mosier and Gail Fredericks were in the middle of discussing the upcoming used book Salaganza when they smelled something strange.
So Salaganza smelled marijuana somewhere, and we're like shocked.
Yeah.
And so Doug goes, "Do you smell it?"
Oh, I thought it was my linguine that I left.
It smelled something funny, like it was on fire.
We thought it was Cookie's linguine on fire.
And I couldn't believe it was drugs
no,
in the library.
Gail knew what it was.
I guessed. It smelled like a Cheech and Chong or something.
Without any way to confirm that the smell was indeed weed, Cookie Stevens called her husband, Sheriff Stevens, who called in local ceramics teacher Dutch Gibbs, who lived in Seattle for a few months in the 70s.
Yeah, that's weed.
Sheriff Stevens has begun compiling a list of potential suspects, including that boy Lance, who has girl hair and hangs out down by the quarry, Greg Fromke, who was spotted this evening really going to town on some potato skins at Steaky Jake's Steakhouse, and Mr. Thompson. Luckily, one young reading enthusiast seemed unperturbed by the illicit smell.
I hear a lot of people talking about it. I mean, I don't smell anything. I mean, I don't smell anything. I really, really, really love the library.
The weed smell comes on the heels of last month's discovery of a gigantic pair of women's underpants in the children's fiction section. According to Stevens, that case remains open as well. Well, too bad it wasn't meth. They just could have had you come down and sniff it out, huh, Kathy?
Eat shit, Randall. I'm in recovery.
This is what people need to realize. The only reason why it's illegal is because of economics. It's because there's like 1,000 different things that marijuana would fix that pharmaceutical drugs right now are prescribed for. And it would cost the pharmaceutical companies billions and billions of dollars every year. If marijuana was made illegal, it would cost alcohol companies. When you see those commercials, like those the talking dog, the pot commercial.
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't smoke weed. Those are sponsored by Partnership for a Drug-Free America. Mm-hmm. Partnership for a Drug-Free America is funded by alcohol companies. I mean, it's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, and alcohol is a drug.
Yeah.
But it's a drug that's sanctioned. Yeah. And it's like, have you ever meet someone, they're like, I don't do drugs. Meanwhile, they're smoking and they have a beer in their hand.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now, douche?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just because it has a label and a, you know, a barcode and you can scan it, doesn't mean it's a drug. It's not a drug, right?
Is there any truth to the way back when it was the logging industry that had actually put a
it was to William it. Randolph Hearst who put a, this is the... In 1935, they came out with a machine called a decorticator. And what a decorticator is, it allows you to effectively and economically effectively process hemp fiber. Because before, they used to use slavery. And when slavery was abolished in 1865, they had no means of effectively producing this pulp, like, you know, that it would be economically effective. So more people were using cotton. But the Declaration of Independence was printed on hemp. The parachute that George Bush Sr. used to parachute in World War II. World War II. That was made out of hemp. Hemp was had huge industrial uses. It was just very difficult to process. And so they came out with this machine called the decorticator, and it allowed them to really effectively produce it. And then Popular Science had this cover that said, hemp, the new billion-dollar product, and everyone was going to start using hemp for paper, for textiles. And William Randolph Hearst, who owned all these newspapers, and on top of that, owned all these paper mills, it was going to cost him millions of dollars to convert over to hemp. So instead, he started printing stories in his paper about some new drug called marijuana. And marijuana wasn't even a slang term for cannabis. Marijuana was used to describe a type of Mexican wild tobacco, completely unrelated. So they called it marijuana, and they said, this is how they got it illegal. They said, people are smoking it, and blacks and Mexicans are raping white women. So Congress outlawed this new drug, not even knowing they were outlawing hemp. They had no idea, which hemp had been in use for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And so then they came out with all these videos, or these movies rather, like Reefer Madness and all these propaganda films, and it was all just to get people to think that there's something wrong with this one. It was totally economic. That's all it is.
So you're a casual user, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know a little bit about this.
No one has died from pot in over 10,000 years of use. 400,000 people every year die directly, in this country alone, directly from use of cigarettes.
Yeah.
No one's ever died from pot, ever. But it's illegal. And you're not going to live forever, all right? You're going to live and you're going to die. And everybody is. We're all temporary beings going through this life. And, you know, who are you to tell other people what they can and can't do? And people are like, oh, pot makes you lose, your pot makes you lazy. No, you're a loser and you're lazy. And if you smoke pot, you're a, you know, pot smoking lazy loser. It doesn't mean pot makes you a loser. You know, it's you, dude. Blame it on yourself. It's like alcohol doesn't make you a drunk.
Right.
You know, I drink and then I stop drinking and then I go get something to eat and I hang out and I won't drink for weeks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's called moderation, and you apply it to every aspect of your life. And if you want to get addicted, you can get addicted to spanking it. You can get addicted to gambling. You can
Guilty.
Get addicted to anything. Scratch tickets, you know?
Yeah,
people
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and people say, well, you can abuse alcohol. You can abuse pot. You can abuse cheeseburgers, too.
Yeah.
You know, but I like cheeseburgers. It should be legal.
Yeah.
All this stuff should be legal. We're not children. We're adults. But we got this one plant that's illegal. And it grows everywhere. And the reason why it's illegal...
Sorry.
What are you doing?
I hit a button and another thing.
You trying to jazz up the...
Oh, I'm fascinated.
So you think we should giggle and smoke pot?
Well, I think we should have fun. You're not going to live forever. This is a short time that we're here for. And, you know, all different psychedelics, not just pot, because pot is a very mild psychedelic. And if pot is a gateway, it's a gateway to other things that also are consciousness expanding, like mushrooms and LSD or all sorts of things that are also illegal. You know, the most dangerous drugs in this country, or the drugs that are the most illegal, rather, are all the ones who are not nearly as dangerous as the Schedule II drugs. Schedule I drugs are marijuana, mushrooms, peyote. Those are Schedule I.
Yeah.
Those are all the ones that can't kill you. Schedule II is heroin.
Right.
Schedule II is cocaine. Those are way worse for you. But the problem is opiates you use in a bunch of different drugs, like OxyContin, all these different things that pharmaceutical companies use.
Right.
You know, and there's medical-grade cocaine, you know, that you can use, too. They use for
medical use. Do you go to these pot rallies? These, you know, the...
Normal
if
deals? I get baked, I'll go anywhere. Against my better judgment, I'll show up with a big, stupid leaf t-shirt. Look at me.
I was reading some stuff on you. It says you use the most powerful hallucinogen known to man, DMT.
Oh, you use that?
Well, everybody uses that, really, because your brain makes it.
Yeah.
Your own brain makes it while you sleep, while you're in heavy REM sleep. Everyone's brain produces way more than the effective dose. So what that means is if you take the drug, like it's chemically synthesized from a plant, and you take it, the amount you need to take is not nearly as much as your brain produces while you're in REM sleep. It's like what I describe it as. It's like complex geometric patterns that are made out of love. Like you go literally to another dimension.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is that everybody does it every night while you sleep. Nobody ever thinks about why you sleep. Like what you do is when you sleep is you shut off. You shut off and you just accept it because we do it every night. But 8 hours of your day is somewhere you don't understand. You don't know about. You don't know what it is. You just go blank
right.
And you wake up and it's over. But you're going through an intense psychedelic trip during that whole time. And the same thing as, you know, when you wake up from a dream and you can't remember it. Like, oh, it's a crazy dream. And it seems so real. And then 5 minutes later, you don't even know what the hell you were talking about.
Right.
You don't remember the dream. But that's exactly what happens when you smoke DMT. When you take this drug, you have these insane visions, and then you could barely remember it just a few minutes later. And it's because your conscious brain is trying to protect you from this experience because it's so mind-blowing. It's not scary because it's exactly the same thing that happens to you when you die. So if there is an afterlife...
That's really scary.
You're going to die. Get used to it. Everybody's scared of it, but it shouldn't be scary.
But Joe, here's the question. Do you lose physical control, you know, when you're on this trip?
You're not even there, man. You don't even exist.
Well, that's the scary part. I mean, you can do something
same
stupid.
Thing that happens when you go to sleep. Yeah, you can do something. You're in a couch. Just sit on a couch, smoke it, and you'll walk back.
You pass out?
I mean, yeah, basically.
Okay.
How long does it last for? Is it
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
Oh,
got it back.
I remember.
But what happened? This is what happens to you when you die. I mean, this is the chemical that your brain produces. And it's produced by a part of your brain called the pineal gland. And literally, it's your third eye.
Right.
It's literally in the center
right
of your
in the
brain
middle,
where the third eye is. And it actually, in reptiles, it has a retina and a cornea and a lens. And they've done all these scientific studies on it. They did a bunch of clinical trials at the University of New Mexico. They did a book on it called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. And what this is literally like a portal to the afterlife. It allows you to sneak a peek over there and come back. It's mind-blowing. But the crazy
thing is... Why did this make it out the Fear Factor?
Well, the crazy thing is they've known about this since like 1960. If you saw a movie and there was a substance in this movie that existed in every single ecosystem, it's in plants and it's everywhere. It's in grass. You take Phalaris grass and you extract it and you get DMT from it. Literally. I mean, it's in more plants than it's not in. And if there was a drug that allowed you, if you smoked it, you could literally see God. Literally have a communication with pure wisdom. Wouldn't you think that everybody would have heard about that?
Yeah.
Could you think that you could keep something like that under wraps for like 40, 50 years?
See, I go the other way on this. I'm not opposed to other people doing it. I've never tried pot. I've never been drunk. I've never done any. Just because it holds no fascination for me.
Well, that's because you've never done it. Yeah, if you've done it, it would be fascinating. You can't say you've never done something so it holds no fascination. That doesn't make any sense.
When you've done it,
Casey, when you experience it, you're cutting back on your life's experiences. You just don't do anything that's addictive. Don't do anything that can kill you. It's real simple. This is what should be legal. All plants. All plants should be legal. Because they don't make strychnine illegal. Strychnine exists in Strychnus bombosis or something like that. There's a bunch of different plants that produce strychnine. And they're legal plants. You can buy them. You can make strychnine. You know why? It's not about something that kills you. It's about something that won't... You won't be able to absorb propaganda the way you do now. You won't be able to look at the news the way you do now. You won't be able to look at common cultural conditioning and predetermined patterns of behavior. None of that stuff will make sense.
It's very difficult
to go through life after you've gone through that experience.
Okay.
The way I describe it, it's like any intense psychedelic experience is like pressing Control Alt Delete on your brain.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. It's like your brain reboot. It should freak you out.
It does freak me out.
But it freaks you out because you like to be in control.
Yeah.
But you're not in control, bitch. You're gonna die. No one's in control. You're in control of your body for a short period of time, and you should experiment.
I work out at least 5 days a week. I was a U.S. national Taekwondo champion. I do jiu-jitsu 4 days a week. I lift weights at least 3 days a week. On top of that, I'm constantly active. I do stand-up comedy every fucking weekend, never take time off, constantly writing material. I do Fear Factor. I was doing Fear Factor and The Man Show and jiu-jitsu, smoking weed every fucking day. Every day. It helps me in every way. It makes me much more enthusiastic about things that I actually enjoy doing. Much more enthusiastic. So it doesn't like take away your motivation. It'll just take away your motivation to do something that fucking sucks.
But I think his question was on the lines of one of the other false arguments that's thrown out there is the fact that you have to inhale it and smoke it.
But even if you do smoke it, I'm telling you, it doesn't hurt you.
But the fact
cardio is fantastic.
There are those who choose to smoke it.
Right.
But there are those who, there are better ways that you don't have to smoke it now.
Absolutely.
The vaporizer is a wonderful thing.
Sure.
That's not smoking it at all. That's
lollipops, brownie, those lollipops, man, that's a smooth, mellow high that lasts for hours. There's no, and I don't buy any of the damage on your lungs.
laughing. You
has a thinking capacity, IQ, if you were to measure, would be totally off the scale. He speaks 100 languages fluently, alien as well as others. He's a remarkable person. I had a chance to meet him one time.
Revealing the secrets on some Area 51 tip, pulling the rug from under these snakes with their tongues. But all you know is this perfect world where every rap song is the same. It's time to take the picture and alter the frame. A strange dialect trying to get these listeners to understand it. Real MCs are treated like visitors from another planet. The industry pretend like we are non-existent. A few believers tuning in the frequency to listen. We always fear the different, but if you pay close attention, you would see I'm just here to serve and protect the solar system. You can see the remnants of our culture's lost remains. The story of our origin written on walls and trains. They want to hide the truth, erasing any trace of us. If you ever looked up and wondered what's out there in space, it's us. These extraterrestrial sightings might leave your melon froze. So I'm just a distant star at the end of your telescope. Can you see the lights? Can you see the lights? Bright lights up there in the sky. Will you be the last to know or first to break the news? Hop inside of the spaceship while we take you to a different world, different place, different state of mind. Mysteries unraveling, traveling through space and time. Can you see the lights? Can you see the lights? Bright lights up there in the sky. All passengers boarding the space odyssey. I am the ambassador of my alien race colony. We used to have technology inside of us, not these machines. We understood astronomy before all of these things. Communicated clairvoyantly with the universe's meridians. Now all we know are these rap verses from idiots. Take a trip with the future primitive ancient civilian. Unidentified fly rhyme sayer in the building. Can you see the lights? Can you see the lights? Bright lights up there in the sky. Will you be the last to know or first to break the news? Hop inside of the spaceship while we take you to a different world, different place, different state of mind. Mysteries unraveling, traveling through space and time. Can you see the lights? Can you see the lights? Bright lights up there in the sky.
One of the conclusions that I came to with my research on Supernatural is that certain categories of beings that are referred to in traditions all around the world, shamans call them spirits. In medieval Europe, they were called fairies and elves. And in modern society, I would suggest they're called aliens. That all of these are the result of experiences in altered states of consciousness. And that if we are in the alert problem-solving mode of consciousness, we are not going to have those experiences. But in an altered state of consciousness, there's a remarkable unanimity and uniformity and similarity amongst these three supposedly different categories of beings, spirits, fairies, and so-called aliens today. I really went into this in some depth in my research, and I found that there are really astonishing similarities amongst these three categories of beings. Very commonly, shamans, just as we saw from the painted caves, will encounter a spirit being in a therianthropic form, part animal, part human. I was astonished to discover that fairies in medieval Europe were also very frequently encountered in that form. And I have a woodcut from Holland in the 15th century on my desk, which shows a group of fairies dancing in a ring. And if you look closely at them, you see that they are therianthropes, that they have horns and hooves, that they're part animal and part human. And again, in the modern phenomenon of alien abductions, and we have massive documentation on this as a result of John Mack's work, for example. Very frequently, the abductee will first see a being who is an animal, or part animal and part human in form, later perhaps transforms into the more familiar grey type of entity. So there's that common motif running through all three of these experiences. What were fairies best known for and feared for in medieval Europe? It was abducting human beings. What are aliens today best known and feared for? Abductions. What happens with shamans? Very frequently they experience an abduction into the spirit world as their first encounter. What about the issue of interbreeding with supernatural beings? I know the cases of shamans who have a sexual partner in the spirit world, a wife, even children in the spirit world. Fairies were constantly amorous towards human beings and would have sexual encounters, and babies would be created. And again, this is a standard motif of modern alien abductions. So one can go through these astonishing similarities in enormous depth, and the conclusion that I came to is that all of these are essentially the same experience, just being viewed through slightly different cultural spectacles. With human beings, interpretation is built into perception from the very beginning. So we should expect our culture to shape our perceptions, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a real basis to those perceptions. And, you know, to cut a long story short, I would say that the beings that shamans call spirits, the beings that medieval Europeans called fairies and elves, and the beings that modern Americans call aliens are all the same beings. That everybody who has encountered these beings in whatever period of history or whatever culture it takes place has done so through the medium of an altered state of consciousness. And that altered state of consciousness may be very frequently spontaneous, and I believe that is most likely the case with the modern UFO abduction, alien abduction phenomenon, that these are individuals who spontaneously fall into an altered state of consciousness, or it may be induced by a variety of techniques. Again, electromagnetism is interesting. We have situations where fairies were most commonly seen around megalithic sites in ancient Europe. Maybe those huge megalithic constructions, Stonehenge and Avebury and other such places, were built where they were built because there's some phenomenon in the earth, some energy of the earth, perhaps an electromagnetic energy, which affects human consciousness and opens that doorway into another realm. This may account for why in some situations supernatural experiences are shared by very large groups of people, as for example at Fatima in Portugal, I think it was, 1917, if I remember the date correctly, where up to 70,000 people all saw the same supposedly supernatural phenomena. How would we explain that? It's unlikely that all 70,000 were spontaneously entering an altered state at the same time. They clearly weren't taking mushrooms or ayahuasca, not all 70,000 of them. But maybe there was some environmental effect present in that place at that time which affected the consciousness of that large group of people and briefly pulled apart the veil that separates this realm from other realms and allowed them to see through. I think it's enormously helpful in understanding all supernatural, so-called supernatural experiences. I think it's enormously helpful to look at those experiences from the perspective of consciousness. I think this is what's been missing in supernatural research up till now. It's really most unfortunate that people looking for ghosts, for example, will try to use technology in order to find those ghosts. And there are things called ghost meters and measuring of different fields. And I don't think that's really going to be very helpful in getting us far down this road. What will be helpful for exploring all forms of supernatural experience is the deliberate induction of altered state of consciousness in a systematic way. And we have the ability to do that. We can do it. All that's lacking is a social framework that would support it.
Psychedelic drugs are as important to the study of UFOs as the telescope was to the redefining of astronomy. You can meet the alien. You can meet the alien tomorrow night, if your connections are good enough. And you can meet the alien over and over and over again. You said this was what you wanted. Baby, it's on its way. It's being served. The anxiety that society feels about psychedelic drugs, and notice, psychedelic drugs do not cause addiction, ruin lives, or inspire people to rob banks or any of that. Psychedelic drugs, nothing has ever been adduced against them except that they give you funny ideas. Well, I think this is a crowd familiar with being stigmatized for dealing in funny ideas. They haven't made UFOs illegal, but they certainly have made psychedelics illegal. This is because this is the portal.
DMT is, you know, kind of a portal, or, you know, kind of a door for the transport of the spirit out of the body, it appears to me.
What this is literally like a portal to the afterlife. It allows you to sneak a peek over there and come back. It's mind-blowing.
This is the portal. The secret is out. It isn't going to be a top-down revelation. It isn't going to come on McNeil Lehrer or the cover of Time. There will not be an announcement from the White House press office. Anybody who has that vision of how it works has completely given away their own power. You are not to be a consumer of the UFO. It is not for your amusement. It is for your transformation. And you can play the game of waiting with the uninitiated, or you can simply go look at the end of the movie. Shamans have been doing this for at least probably 100,000 years. And it's a process of opening to an experience, not an ideology. It's not an ideology. It's an experience. Now you need to just take it one vibratory level over and cut your teeth on what we've been putting up with for years, which is these alien entities that are so easily contacted and dealt with through the intersection of the psilocybin and DMT family of compounds. I want to describe my DMT experience just to let you know how alien it is, and then we can discuss this a little. DMT, which is a near relative of psilocybin, psilocybin I mentioned, 4-phosphoryl-oxy-NN-DMT. Now I want to talk about NN-DMT. This is a compound, the commonest hallucinogen in nature. Note that, because if an alien were spreading hallucinogens around, this would be the one to look at, the commonest one. You smoke it. It only lasts 3 to 7 minutes. Not long, folks. Anybody can invest 3 to 7 minutes, I would think, in an experiment which might alter your complete ontology. What happens when you smoke DMT? There is a mandalic pattern which forms, which is identifiable as what pharmacologists call preliminary hypnagogia. It just simply means that the brain-mind system is saying, yes, exotic indoles are arriving at the synaptic receptors in unexpected numbers. Yes, we are monitoring this situation. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. That goes on for about 30 seconds, and then you are propelled through it into a place. A place, not a state of mind. A place. You are instantly plunged into an environment of elf intelligence, self-transforming machine elves. They are not cheerfully portrayed and suitable material for t-shirts and coffee mugs. They are self-transforming jeweled basketball-like things. It's not clear they are made of matter. They are made of light. 20 seconds before, you were in an apartment somewhere with your scuzzy friends doing drugs. Now, that's gone. and you are in this place being confronted by these entities. And one of the things they do that's quite disconcerting is they come jumping up or dribbling up to you, and then they will sort of vibrate in place, then they jump into your chest, then they jump back out. But the main thing is they are doing something. They use a language which you can see. They can condense meaning before your very eyes. For them, syntax is not acoustical rules, it's pictorial rules. And they are doing this. They will scramble forward, elbowing each other, jumping up and down, very excited, and they say, "Look at this! Look at this!" And they pull objects, sing objects into existence and show them to you. And as your attention goes into these things, it's the emotion is indescribable. These objects are made of gold, ivory, smaragdine, chalcedony, beryllium, terbium, flesh, gold, blood, heat, tears. And it's all changing, morphing as you look at it. And as you look at this, you have, without an iota of doubt, the conviction, if I could bring this thing across, it would end human history. Argument would cease. You would just say, "Look, look at this." And they're pushing each other away, showing you, "Look at this one, look at this one." These objects themselves emit sound and make other objects. The whole thing is going on in an atmosphere of incredible hilarity and confusion. It's now 1 minute since you left your scuzzy friends in that badly furnished apartment. Naturally, the fact that you're having this experience raises certain fundamental questions, such as, am I dead now? Is that what's happened? And the entities say, they say, don't give way to amazement. Don't flip out about how you can't believe it and it's impossible and so forth and so on. Don't do that. Just pay attention. Pay attention to what we are doing and what we are showing you. And what they preach is a new dispensation of language, a language that can be beheld. And as you sit there, you feel like a bubble form in your stomach and begin to make its way to your mouth. And when it comes out as a kind of a glossolalia, you discover that in that space, you too can make jeweled objects with spinning interiors and reflexively rotating sub-themes and so forth and so on. So what seems to be being preached in the DMT encounter is the ontological transformation of into a telepathic mode. Now, you may have thought telepathy was you hearing somebody else think. Apparently, that's not what telepathy is. Telepathy is you seeing what somebody else means.
Goddamn. It's Loki, I'm back. You just heard a bunch of shit in a row. Isn't that what they say on the radio? Well, I guess they probably don't say a bunch of shit in a row. I don't know what they say. It's on, like, Ed FM. Is that Ed FM? Anyway, you just heard Terrence McKenna rambling about DMT and the evolution of the human mind. Before that, Graham Hancock talking about some similar shit, fairies and aliens and ghosts. Before that was another track off Green Chili in the Air Volume 3. That one featured Wake Self. It's called UFRs. And I think that's Graham Hancock talking at the end of that track, too. That's why I decided to go that direction after that song. I think. Sounds like it. Maybe I'm just, I guess it's not racist, but I'm prejudiced against English people, and I just think all their voices sound the same. So I can't tell Graham Hancock from a different guy. Maybe. I don't know. Don't judge me. Fuck you. I can see you. I can see you with your judgmental little earbuds in. Before that was Joe Rogan, also rambling about DMT and legalizing pot. And before that was a news report from The Onion about the funny smell in the back of the library, which I know nothing about, let me just say. Views of this podcast do not reflect the views of Batwings for Lab Rats, necessarily. Alright, I'm gonna play a few more things to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out? Fuck it, we'll do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! The dog does not like the yelling, I can tell you that much. He's looking at me, terrified. Sorry, Zeus, didn't mean to freak you out. But, yeah, thanks for tuning in. There's some more shit on the way. Some more shit in a row, right here on Bat Rat Radio, bitches. Stay tuned, make sure you're around for the January 22nd podcast. We're going to be debuting a brand new song. I'll probably let you know the name of the song next week. And we'll probably have some album art for you very soon. I think we're done with it. We're letting it sit for a minute, seeing if there's any last minute tweaks. But we're pretty much satisfied with where it's at, I think. And very exciting times for Batwings for Lab Rats. I hope it's an exciting time for you too. Fucking 2014, we live in the goddamn future, and I think the only reason we don't have jetpacks is it's just not really practical, but there are jetpacks, so that's cool, and there's cars that drive themselves, so welcome to the future. I gotta go blow my nose, I've had the flu all week, that's why I missed y'all last week, but I gotta, you hear that? Ugh. That's disgusting. Alright, I'll see you guys next week. Make sure you stay tuned to batwingsforlabrats.com for all the latest. We just redesigned the site, and the new one will be up soon. Much love, thanks for listening. Here's some more stuff. I'll probably talk more, too. I'm acting like I'm leaving, but I'm not. I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, see you soon.
One, two, three. It's blessed enough. From 99 until death, these father dreamers make believers from the styles we kept them all in. Dials, load up the session. My hands hot, peeling fresh, green chili roasted. Let the heat settle in, then let it flow through my pen. It's just what's happening when two is breathing the blend. So everybody, crawl out of your nook. It don't matter your luck, just listen up and stay put.
Cause some people wanna get their name in a book, and some people wanna get a trailer and cook, and some cats walking ain't even alive, and so I let it all out, don't keep it inside. People, my vibe, hope you're feeling the real. It's a smooth meditation with a meaning to heal the heart of a lost soul frozen in time, and all that we ask is you open your mind.
No need to hurry up, just chill and take your time. There's nothing on the line.
All the people that are willing to build, come on.
Yeah, I like the vibe of the song. Tubas and dials are strong from the miles we roam. So when we get in a session, we bring a pile of poems. Lay it down, let us mosaic tile your dumps. Get in it, whether you're standing or sitting, walking with your headphones or moving a mile a minute. Let fresh be intrinsic, take a breath and just listen. Shit, I'm gonna kick it, bless, handle your business.
From the birth southwest to the depths of the deep blue, bless on a quest to express to the seed's root. Live in the flesh with the breath in the beat loop, on to the next microphone I can speak through. Back in the day we lived Phillies of stress, and now we blow meditation on the reels and decks. Gotta spread it on thick when the butter is passed, and so we really ain't tripping when the government cries.
No need to hurry up, just chill and take your time. There's nothing on the line.
To all my people that are willing to build, come on. To all my people that are willing to build, come on.
Siberia. Just chill and take your time. There's nothing on the line.
To all my people that are willing to build, come on. To all my people that are willing to build, come on. To all my people that are willing to build, come on. To all my people that are willing to build.
Why is marijuana against the law? It grows naturally upon our planet. Doesn't the idea of making nature against the law seem to you a bit paranoid? You know what I mean? It's nature. How do you make nature against the fucking law? Grows everywhere, serves a thousand different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law is like saying God made a mistake. You know what I mean? It's like God on the seventh day looked down at his creation.
There it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest. Oh my me. I left fucking pot everywhere. Never smoked that joint on the third day. Sure. That was the day I created possums. Still gives me a chuckle. If I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give humans the impression they're supposed to use it. Now I have to create Republicans. And God wept. You know what I mean? I believe that God left certain drugs growing naturally upon our planet to help speed up and facilitate our evolution. Okay, not the most popular idea ever expressed. Either that or you're real high and agreeing with me in the only way you can right now. Got the code. Is it two blinks yes, one blink no? Do you think magic mushrooms growing atop cow shit was an accident? Where do you think the phrase "that's good shit" came from? Why do you think Hindus think cows are holy? Holy shit. Why do I think McDonald's is the Antichrist? That's God's little accelerator pad for our evolution. Just think about this now. For billions of years, sorry, fundamentalist, we were nothing but apes.
Rich off violence, poor on purpose. When we gonna learn that the words are worthless? When we gonna learn that the words are worthless? Poetry is priceless, porn is free. Short on freedom, but long on TV. When we gonna learn that the world is worth us? When we gonna learn that the world is worth us? When we gonna learn? Gold chains and go ignorant. Spike Lee told Kanye that's your business. When we gonna own hotels, ditch the cribs, kid? This ain't a game, it's Monopoly, not for infants. When we gonna learn? To keep your hands to yourself. Rihanna taking Chris Brown back, short as in health. The most beautifulest women stand up for themselves. Give her a hand a different way, you'll get her hand and her help. When we gonna learn? More money is more problems. Jay tried to buy Cuba, got in trouble with Obama. Said his presence was a blessing. Pissed off Belafonte back in the day on the block. The cops was his only bother. When we gon' learn? The grass ain't always greener. Ask Lindsay Lohan, Montana, and any tweener with the childhood Disney equivalent to Brady Bunch twerking off their clothes just to prove to us they're growing up. Can't live off our songs, but die over verses. Rich off violence, poor on purpose. When we gonna learn that the words are worthless? When we gonna learn that the words are worthless?
priceless. Poetry is priceless. Porn is free. Short on freedom, but long on TV. When we gonna learn that this world is worth us? When we gonna learn that this world is worth us? When we gonna learn? Mi casa ain't su casa. The house I live in stay blacker than Rikers Island. Everybody inside like Mamiya, Martin, or Malcolm. Father, uncle, brothers, population running out, son. When we gonna learn? We only got one planet. Call it Rhythm Nation. The election goes to Janet. Since Michael's on the moon, I'll perfect my space jamming while we sing we are the world with everybody hand in hand. When we gonna learn? Ain't no stopping us now. We on that Ashford and Simpson rough side of the mountain. Everybody is a star. See the dust when you fart. If we sound like this shit, it's just the scent of our art. When we gon' learn? Get rich or die trying. Empire ain't surviving. U.S. kicked off the island. I'm your idol. Like America's most. By the time I'm on your TV, I'm already a ghost.
We flew into San Diego and I asked the manager, could I go home? Because we had an off day. So he said, yeah. So I took some LSD at the airport because I knew where it would hit me. I'd be in my own, in my little area, and I'd know where to go. So that's how I got to my friend's girlfriend's house. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm high as a Georgia pine. The next day, which I thought was the next day, she told me, you better get up. You got to go pitch. I said, pitch? I pitch tomorrow. Hell, what are you talking about? Because I had got up in the middle of the morning and took some more acid. She grabbed the paper, brought me the sports page, and showed me. Boom. I said, oh, wow. What happened to yesterday? She said, I don't know, but you better get to that airport. Now, this was in the 70s, and greens was Dexamil. That was the drug of choice back then, was a stimulant. Over 90% of major leagues was using Dexamil when I was playing. When I got to the game, there was a lady down there in San Diego who used to always have the Bennies for me, Benzedrine, which is another stimulant. I went out to the dugout and reached up because she was standing over the rail. She always stood over the rail and had a pretty little gold pouch. So I got the Bennies, went on back in the clubhouse, took them. The game started and the mist started, misty rain. So all during the game was a little mist. The opposing team and my teammates, they knew I was high, but they didn't know what I was high on. Because they had no idea what LSD was other than what they see on TV with the hippies. I didn't see the hitters. All I could tell was if they was on the right side or the left side. The catcher put tape on his fingers so I could see the signals. We had a rookie on the team at that particular time named Dave Cash, and he kept saying after the first inning, he said, you got a no-no going, a no-hitter. I said, yeah, right. And I looked. Then around the fourth inning, he'd say it again, got a no-no going. I looked. Yep. But I could also feel the pressure from other players wanting to tell him to shut up. It's a superstition thing where you're not supposed to say nothing if somebody's throwing a no-hitter. There were times when the ball was hit back at me, I jumped because I thought it was coming fast, but the ball was coming slow. Third base would come by and grab the ball and threw somebody out. I never caught a ball from the catcher with two hands because I thought that was a big old ball. And then sometimes it looked small. One time I covered first base, and I caught the ball, and I tagged the base all in one motion. I said, ooh, I just made a touchdown. I didn't pay no attention to the score. You know, I'm trying to get the batters out. And I'm throwing a crazy game. I'm hitting people, walking people, throwing balls in the dirt. They're going everywhere.
Now we go for the Fiesta de Resistance. We've moved to the bottom of the ninth on a no-hitter, leading 2-0.
It was easier to pitch with the LSD because I was so used to medicating myself. That's the way I was dealing with the fear of failure. The fear of losing, the fear of winning. It's just that it was part of the game. You know, you get to the major leagues and you say, I got to stay here. What do I need?
Everybody in our bullpen is standing and walking around nervously. They want to run and grab Doc. Now, two balls, two strikes, and here's the pitch. Strike three. He got it. They're Marvin Doc Ellis on a no-hitter.
Osliani and Cyrus Moses, Right at Home. That comes off Green Chili in the Air 3. Before that, you had the famous story of Doc Ellis and the LSD no-hitter. Doc Ellis was a pitcher for the Pirates in the 70s. He threw a no-hitter on acid, famously. That was him telling the story. Before that was another track from the Green Chili in the Air 3. That one featured Hakeem B., Poetry and Porn. And before that, Bill Hicks talking about God making pot, talking about the evolution from apes to thinking apes. And before that was another Green Chili in the Air 3 track. That one was by the Tubers, and that was called Legos. And that's it. We're done. Dunskies. Dunyans. Donald Sutherland. Dunna Summers. I don't know what I'm... Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for checking out Batwings for Lab Rats. We love you. We'll see you next week. Okay. I have no more things to tell you. Much love. Peace out. Okay. Bye. Okay. Bye. All right. I'm going. Bye. Okay. Later. Peace out. Bye.